Mark chapter 11, and we want to pick up where we left off last time, beginning with verse 27. And they come again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, there come to him the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, and say unto him, By what authority doest thou these things, and who gave thee this authority to do these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask of you one question, and answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me. And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we say from heaven, he will say, Why then did ye not believe him? But if we shall say of men, they feared the people, for all men counted John that he was a prophet indeed. And they answered and said unto Jesus, We cannot tell. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. Now, let's just look at this, look at the setting, first of all, of this. This is Tuesday of the Passion Week. On Sunday, we had the triumphal entry. On Monday, he came into Jerusalem and on the way in cursed the fig tree that had leaves and no fruit, and came on in and cleansed the temple. Now, this is the second cleansing. We had one cleansing given to us in John chapter 2, which was at the very beginning of his ministry. And now we have this at the close of his ministry, this cleansing of the temple again. And then as they came in on this particular Tuesday morning to Jerusalem, having come out of the, every night they went back to the Mount of Olives or to Bethany, he gives them a lesson on faith as a result of the withered fig tree. He taught them concerning faith from that lesson. Now, we find Jesus walking about the temple area, teaching the crowds that are gathered. Luke tells us that he was teaching. Mark says he was walking. And so, undoubtedly, there were large crowds gathered at the Passover week, and especially in the court of the Gentiles area, which is, as we said, this whole area is about 22 acres, about 1,000 feet by 1,000 feet, rather large area, the temple area. And so Jesus is moving about from one section of the temple to another section of the temple, teaching the people as they're gathered there. Now, he is approached as he is teaching and talking there. He's approached by a group of people who come to question his credentials. Actually, that's what they're doing. And there are three different people listed in this group, which make up the Sanhedrin. These three groups together would make up the group which we know as the Sanhedrin, the ruling body of the Jews. So there is, first of all, the scripture says, the chief priests. Now, that would include the high priest. In this particular time, you know, there were two of them, Annas and Caiaphas. One was coming off his term, and the other one was coming on, and for that period of time there were two there. The chief priests are mentioned. These are the high priests and others who had served in that office. After a person had served as high priest, he still remained in this select group, and some other dignitaries who also were in that particular party. These were mostly Sadducees. And, of course, you know the Sadducees were the liberals, the modernists of Jesus' time, who rejected anything supernatural, angels, life after death, all those kind of things. And these are the Sadducees. And then the second group is listed. It says the scribes. Now, the scribes were the ones who really were responsible for teaching the Scripture and copying the Scripture. They were also the ones who interpreted the law and gave the interpretation of the law. These were mostly Pharisees because they were the ones who studied the Scriptures, and they were the conservative group in Jesus' day, would have been the conservative group. And so they, because of the fact that they studied the Scripture and interpreting the Scripture, the Sadducees really cared, didn't care much about the Scripture. Whenever you don't have any belief, when your faith is when you don't believe in angels, you don't believe in supernatural, well, obviously you're not going to be too concerned about the Scripture. And the other ones in this group were called the elders, and these were lay members of the Sanhedrin, heads of tribes or some tribal division. They were not priests in that sense, but they were people of some years and had some responsibilities in the tribes, usually head of a tribe or some division of a tribe. And so the Sanhedrin was basically made up of the ruling body was made up of these three. So all three of them come to face Jesus in this thing. Now, that tells us that there had been an official meeting the night before, obviously, and Jesus was the topic of conversation. After cleansing the temple, and all the people gathering to him and looking to him as a prophet, and all that sort of thing. Well, they are really concerned about losing their place, and as they said in one place, their place and their nation. Caiaphas, you know, whenever this group were really concerned about it, what they were going to do, and he said, it's better that one man die for the nation than that they lose their nation. In other words, that they lose their position of prestige and power as the religious leaders. And so, this is an official delegation that comes to Jesus there as he's in the temple. And they are united. They may have had differences whenever they got into their own meeting. They may have squabbled and fussed and, about what they were going to do. But they were united now in one purpose, and that is to destroy Jesus Christ, to get rid of him. Now, you know, This is an interesting thing, because if you take, for instance, these priests, they could have followed their lineage and given you their ancestors all the way back to Aaron. I mean, they were the ones who legally and biblically, according to the Mosaic law, were entitled to the office they held. These are not imposters. These are not people who were not supposed to be in the office, but usurped and took over the offices. These are legitimate Levites, people who by right should have been the spiritual leaders of Israel. They had the Scriptures. They were the ones who studied those Scriptures, and they should have known and recognized that Jesus was more than just some mere man. They should have recognized, certainly, that what he did was good, that he did nothing immoral. In his character, he was upstanding. And that if they knew the Scriptures, they should have recognized that everything he did and everything he said was in harmony and in line with the Scriptures. You see. But this religion, and of course this is what happens to religion, had gone so far away from the truth until they were just politicians who looked after each other and promoted each other and kept things for themselves. And they were certainly not going to let this person who had now come and really had disturbed things with all of his teaching and people following him, now coming into Jerusalem and cleansing the temple again. And so it's just going as far as they can allow it to go. And so they come, and their plan is this. We will embarrass Jesus before the crowd and ask him questions that he will not be able to answer or will stumble with, and thereby the people will see, you see, that he's not so great, he's not so powerful, so forth, and they'll see that he's just a man and an imposter. Now, that's what they were hoping to do with this approach. But there's something we need to learn from this. You shouldn't follow leaders unless leaders follow the Word of God. You don't go after people and follow people, any man, unless that man is obedient to the Word of God, following the Word of God, and true to the Word of God. Now, you see, leaders can go corrupt. It happens all the time. And sooner or later, everything that man establishes goes corrupt. Sooner or later, give it time. Everything that man builds eventually corrupts, and you have to keep reviving. Somebody else has to step out and become what you call a come-outer. He doesn't go with the crowd. Well, Jesus certainly stepped into history at a time whenever the Jews had turned the faith of Moses, the teaching of Moses, to nothing but religion, as Paul calls it, the Jews' religion. He said, I profited in the Jews' religion, he tells in Galatians. So it was that's what it had turned to. And so I say to you young people, you don't stay with something just because your mothers, your fathers were in it and it was good. I grew up in the Methodist Church. And boy, I've heard my folks say, I'm a Methodist and I'll be a Methodist till I die. And that's such a stupid statement. It's such a foolish statement to make such a statement. You want to save your soul. I mean, that's what this is about, is being saved and going to heaven when we die, following the Lord and obeying His Word. That's what this business here on earth is about. It's not about trying to keep something going because our fathers or our grandfathers or somebody else, you know, did this. And so even today, we can see a lot of the schools that have been strong in the last few decades and see them starting to get weak and to crumble. It's just something about anything that man puts his hand to eventually corrupts. He starts thinking selfishly. He starts wanting to preserve it. And then if you say something about it, they're defensive about it. See, and that's what these people had become. They were defensive against what Jesus was doing. They should have kept that temple area clean. It was their authority to keep that place right. What'd they do? They let it go because they got some of the profit from the sales that were going on in the temple area. And so it was just much easier to let it ride. They were in control. They were the ones that were. And so when somebody came who saw that it was not right and went about the business of straightening it out, boy, they took issue with it. And that's exactly what we find here. So leadership that is wrong should not be followed. We have the same kind of situation today. And we try to teach our young folks here in school as well as in the church and so forth that you do right. You follow the Lord. If you are under a man and he's preaching the word and he's faithfully preaching the word, then fine, follow. Go with him. Support. Strengthen. But whenever they err and go away from the word, then you stay right on with the Lord. You see, it's so hard to get out whenever you get so involved, you see, in a denomination or some kind of group like that, and you get so tied into it, till then it's difficult to get out. You see, they say, our fathers put these windows in this church. Why, one of them's got our name on it, you see. And, you know, our history's here. Our family's tied here. And then it's, you know, there's all kind of ways that the devil gets folks tied in. So Jesus was considered, as Dr. Bob Sr. used to say, a come-outer. See, he stood for righteousness and truth. Really, they were the ones that had departed from the faith. And he was preaching the faith. But they didn't like his intrusion. And so the barrenness of Israel's spiritual condition is really shown here. Just how far Israel had gone away from the Lord is shown in times like this. Now they came with a two-point question. They said, what is your authority and who gave it to you? That's the question, two-part. What kind of authority do you have? What is your authority? To do what? And who gave you that authority? That's the question that they come with. Now you see, they're hoping, with all these people gathered around, they're listening, you see, the crowds around there gathered, they're listening. And so they hope, they've got all their religious robes on. They're the traditionalists, religionists, and this is the temple. This is the place of our fathers. Who is this imposter who has come here? And where did he get the authority to speak like this and to talk like this and to do these things? It's not that they really want to know. It's that they want the people to lose faith in Christ. That's what they're really trying to do. Now, what is it that, in other words, what they said is, we're from the credentials committee, and we've come to check your credentials. Where did you, you know, who gave you your credentials to be able to get out and do like this? Now, they're talking about, of course, his cleansing of the temple. That's, I think, the primary concern here. Because that really showed him up. I mean, you know, he came in there and drove out those money changers, turned those tables over, cleaned out that place and straightened it up. Now, this is the next day after, and I'm assuming that it's still clean, say, or he'd be cleaning it again. And so, he's embarrassed them. They hadn't done that, and they're the leaders. What's this guy doing, taking that leadership? So that's one thing. Also, his teaching of the people. You know, had he been certified, what school did he graduate from? Where did he get his degree? So that's the kind of questions that they're coming to him with. And then, of course, that triumphal entry, it didn't seem to stir up too much. Maybe they weren't too concerned about that. I don't know. But they didn't like hearing those people say, Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. They didn't like the praise that he was getting. They'd been shown up by Jesus because they were the ones that had the authority to keep the temple area clean, and they had not used that authority. Let me say something here about this authority. Now, actually what they're saying is, where did you get this delegated authority? Because that's the word they're using, recognizing him as a man, when in fact he's God. Now, but remember that it was as a man that Jesus ministered here upon the earth. And remember what he said, all power, he said this later after his resurrection, all power is given to me, all authority is given unto me, delegated unto me in heaven and in earth. So the authority over heaven and earth was delegated to Jesus Christ by the Father, who has absolute authority and who delegates authority to those to administer it. And so authority is given to be used. If you're a father, you're supposed to use the authority of a father. It doesn't mean you go around waving a big stick saying, I'm the father. But just as it needs to be carried out, as things need to be taken care of, you're the father, you take care of it. All right? And just like in a classroom, a teacher is given the authority over the classroom, and if problems come up, the teacher takes care of the problems. That's the authority. The authority is supposed to operate. You see, authority is not supposed to be on the shelf. It's supposed to be operative. That's the reason God gives it. And they had not been operative with the authority given to them. And so Jesus comes and does what they had not used their authority to do. Now, Jesus answered them in a way that they did not expect. They were up against it. Here's some half-wits up against the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I mean, they're up against deity. And they're trying to think, you know, think with him and to deal with him. And so Jesus said, all right, I'll ask you one question. You ask me two. I'll ask you one. If you'll answer that, then I'll answer your question. You see? And he said, the baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Now, they didn't want to think about John. He was out of the picture. Herod had taken care of him. And they were just glad about it. And they didn't want anybody bringing up John, because all these people consider John, and Luke or Mark, Matthew 1 in this account tells us that they could, you know, they considered him as a prophet. And they looked to John, boy, they were the people were really disturbed when Herod killed him, and they had ionized him and lifted him up, and he was a great one. And he was. Jesus said, no man born of woman greater than John the Baptist. And so, whenever he brought up John, then they had two problems to deal with. Not only Jesus, now John. And so he's saying, you tell me, the baptism of John. Now, when he said the baptism of John, he wasn't talking about just the baptism. That was a phrase, that was a word for the whole ministry. He'd come to teach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Remember? And so to say the baptism of John meant to say the ministry of John, because that was basically what he did. It went around place to place, and people came, and he preached, and they repented, and he baptized them. And so the baptism of John spoke of that whole ministry. And so Jesus answered to them would depend upon their answer to his question. And John, of course, was Jesus' forerunner and had spoke of the fact that he was the forerunner of Christ and that Christ was coming. So he's trying to bring them back to that. And, of course, that also brings the crowd back into it. Now, all they had to answer was in one word. He said, tell me, was it from heaven or of men? All you have to answer is one word. Heaven or men? From God or man? The ministry of John the Baptist. Well, they gathered together, you know, and they said, what are we going to do about this? If we say it was from heaven, then he's going to say, why didn't you accept it? Can't say that. He'll have us. If we say of men, these people will stone us, because John is a prophet, and we can't afford to say that it was of men. Now, isn't this interesting? Listen, whenever you start lying, you have to keep lying. Whenever you start off in a crooked path, you have to stay in a crooked path. They weren't trying to answer honestly. Why didn't they just answer honestly? They were honest men. Just say what they thought. You know, go ahead and say we believe he was a man. Because they sure didn't believe he was a God. But this is one of the marks of religion. When truth becomes corrupted, then those who support that corruption turn to liars. And this is just a lie. They said, we cannot tell. No, that wasn't their problem. They were politicians now, you see. And whenever you're a politician, you say, which side is the vote on? You know, how am I going to come out? And these fellows are not interested in the truth. And they're not interested in answering a question honestly. They're interested in covering up. And trying to keep their position. Well, that was the way that they reasoned. Politician's answer, which was a lie. And then, of course, Jesus answered and said to them, neither will I tell you, in verse 33, neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. And so they are the ones that are thwarted. They're the ones that lose this verbal battle. And we're going to have several more of these in the next two or three chapters where different groups come at him, and in every case he puts them away. So I said they're going into the battle of wits half armed, you know. And because when they're dealing with Christ, they deal him with deity. Now, in chapter 12, we're going to have a parable concerning the vineyard and the household. And boy, I'll tell you, talk about a message that is pointed. This message is so pointed till the Pharisees said, you're saying that about us, which of course only made them the madder and more determined to put Jesus on the cross. Now, it almost looks like now, during this week, that Jesus is provoking the Jews to bring them to the place in their hatred that they will do what God sent him to earth for, to die on the cross for the sins of the world. What he's doing is confronting them, bringing himself before them. And no longer now is he backing off from them. And many times before he said, my time is not yet. My time is not yet. But his time has come now. And it's kind of like a swordsman, you know, who takes on all opposition. Groups, anything else. You see the old movies, you know, Errol Flynn, somebody, you know, with pirates, and you have three or four coming from this way, and he knock them overboard, and three or four more come from this way, and knock them over. This is what you see in these next chapters as Jesus deals with these Jews, and it shows us the picture of religion, and it's the picture of Christianity today. It's a picture of much of what we see today in the churches, and the churches got so bad, you know, 30 years ago, till we had a great movement of independent works. Well, now the independent churches are getting so bad as till they are getting just like the ones that they came out of. And that's the way it goes.